We're fortunate to be awake so early. We're fortunate.
Yeah, I had to remind myself that last couple of days, because I was really, going through some like really tough meditations and really just beat myself up about where I'm not at in life. But I had to, and this is physical, in the physical world, but I had to really think about where I am at in life and the people that I have touched and the thing and the things at my core, my soul level that I do know, which is like I'm like, 2,000 years old, you know what I'm saying, in a 30-something-year-old body. So, like,
Right.
nobody, there's not many people that are like, gonna appreciate that. So it's like you gotta learn how to appreciate yourself in a world
Yeah.
that doesn't value things that you hold dear, you know?
Right. Yeah. You do. Because how can somebody value something they don't understand?
Yeah, exactly it. Yeah. For questions, comments, and to show your support, visit us on the web at afroempath.com. I think it's the 4th of July. Probably people are like, I don't know. Like, I wonder, do black people even celebrate that? Who knows?
They do. They actually
I
do. I
think we do.
at my school, they had a celebration, but instead of American flags, they had Pan-African flags.
Word, I
I always
respect
felt
that.
like, I kind of don't, but it is what it is.
Well, I mean, at least I don't have the fucking American flag. It's a step in the right direction, right?
That's true. And I guess having a cookout and
At
camaraderie
least
and all
it's at
that
least it's, yeah,
excitement.
exactly. It's at least a time to come together. But I mean, like me and you were probably sitting around brooding, right? Oh,
Yep.
which kind of brings me to the topic at hand here. I want to talk about INFP value systems. All right, and how they impact us both positively and negatively.
Okay.
Yeah, for example,
Yeah.
like Fourth of July. This is a perfect example. Like, even as a child, I didn't really know history that well, but I knew we were slaves during this time, or I knew we probably were slaves during this time. I was like, so I was always conflicted. Like, how the fuck should I feel about this day? You know what I'm trying to say? And that goes for many holidays, but especially the 4th of July. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And I noticed most people didn't even care to think about that. Even say they're just like, whatever, fireworks, nigga, shit. I'm like, yeah, I like fireworks too. But at the same time, it always kind of it made it was that day always made me feel less American, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Than any
Yeah.
other day. What about yourself?
I definitely felt the same way. My mom actually got me a shirt and it has Uncle Sam on it, but he has a mask over his face and he has a gun pointed at whoever's looking at the shirt and like a money bag in his hand. And so I wore that to the celebration, and I would
Ah,
wear that
oh,
often
shit. Here we
for
go.
and so I would wear that often for 4th of July. And yeah, I didn't really appreciate it as a holiday because it's like fuck this country and everything that it stands for, because it tries to stand for being this equal society, equal opportunity, yet it doesn't allow for equal opportunities for all people of color and stuff like that. So I just thought it was a contradiction, and I didn't understand why are we celebrating this country and not celebrating our heritage. But I guess people circumvent that by also doing Juneteenth and stuff like that. But funny enough, after I wore that shirt, people gave me compliments about it, like, "Oh, I like that shirt, I like that shirt." And then I'm just like, I don't really care about how America operates anymore, in a sense of that I need to be so against it publicly. And so I'm just like, I can let go of this shirt now. And I threw it away right after. And I also thought that like maybe I was being an attention seeker by wearing that shirt, which I guess is also part of INFP value systems that I'm kind of going through right
I
now.
wonder,
Yeah.
I wonder if I don't, I mean, personally, this is me personally, but I think it might go for you too, but I'll let you touch on it, 'cause it's your life and your expression. But I think that we just don't want to be sucked into this fucking kumbaya energy that we get lost in. You know what I'm trying to say? Where we lose ourselves in a celebration where we forget, like, for example, the national anthem, a couple years ago, that was a big topic of debate. You know what I'm trying to say? again, right. this kind of group patriotism that Chantel!
Hi, Chantel.
Hey guys.
Oh sorry. My god.
Don't
hey.
Let me, go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay, well we're talking about INFP value systems and you're an ENFP, so we share the same value system. We're just talking about like 4th of July and being black on 4th of July and how like we always kind of felt, I know I felt conflicted on it, and Marcus was saying he felt the same way in terms of you know, it didn't seem like a day where you could really celebrate, even as a young child. I knew it was like we were slaves during this time, so you know. And so like Marcus was saying that he had a shirt with Uncle Sam on it with a gun pointed at people and a money bag in his hand, and he was wearing that, you know, he would wear that every 4th of July, and he wore that this 4th of July to his college campus, and some people, you know, were liking it and things like that. But after that he was kind of like, he threw the shirt out, because I mean, you tell me from wrong, Marcus, but you kind of, maybe you felt the shirt had kind of served its purpose in terms of the inner alchemy that you were trying to do in terms of not letting your value system, your INFP value system, be, you know, taken over by the, you know, by these sweeping celebratory, days that we as Americans have, you know?
Exactly. And exactly as you said, I thought that it served its purpose, and I don't need to necessarily make statements with my clothing. I can just be, I can just observe without necessarily saying much via visuals, you know?
I think for me what it is I'm at a point in my life where I know that I'm going to be part of the change to correct a lot of the shit that's going on in this country. It's not, you know, at some point it's like you're doing the inner alchemy to make sure you don't spiritually become sidetracked and spiritually fall into this worldliness and these celebratory acts that lack value, you know what I'm trying to say? But once you know that that's who you are at your core, and that's not going to change, you know what I'm trying to say? And you don't have to define yourself by what you post on Facebook or what you wear, you know what I'm trying to say? Because you know that you're going to be doing the work to make the change, then it's just like, okay, well, it's not like you necessarily assimilate, but you understand that the real work has been done internally, and now it's time to express that externally. And I would say that you don't even want to attract people that are angry. You know what I'm trying to say? Because like if I were to be wearing like, I'm all types of brothers in conscious circles. Some brothers were Black Panthers and things like that, you know, and they always feel like they got to wear all this stuff to like all the kind of regalia, I'm going to say, to show who they are and their battle stripes and their realness. And in some degree, I appreciate that. But at the same time, like, you know, In order to get certain systems in place to facilitate, you know, structural change in this world, that's not going to, it's just like, it's just going to be unneeded attention, I feel. Chantel, what do you feel about that? Do you feel, you kind of get the points I'm saying here?
Yeah, I do. And that's why I mean, I live the way that I live. I don't celebrate holidays. The things that I do celebrate are, they're not holidays, they're traditions that myself and my children have decided have been important to us. So, you know, I'm constantly in a space or moving in a way where I'm always being asked, well, especially with doing the radio show every Monday, on a Monday after a holiday, and it's like, hey, what did you do for the weekend? And I'm like, oh, I just chilled with the family, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, you didn't do anything for, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just like, no, I don't celebrate holidays because they're not holidays. You know, last night we didn't do anything. We stayed home. We just moved into a condo and we're unpacking. And my 10-year-old was asking me, you know, why don't we celebrate it? And I just broke it down to him, you know. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm glad we don't celebrate.
What'd you say to him? out of curiosity, what'd you say to him? He's 10 years old, right? So
yeah, he's 10. And I said, well, you know, 4th of July represents the colonized America's liberation from Britain. He was like, oh, but he automatically was like, but it didn't include everybody. And I was like, you're absolutely right. It didn't include the enslaved the enslaved Africans and or the natives who were already here that they'd already they stole the land from and they murdered and all these and it didn't celebrate the natives that had been sent to the acclimation schools either. It only celebrated the Caucasian people who had come over here illegally, technically, from their birth state. And so he was like, oh yeah, I don't. And then he was like, I don't know why everybody it's not a celebration then. I was like, but that is why I teach you the way that I teach you. And it's important that you are learning more information than what they're teaching at school, because the system is designed so that people will just blindly go along with things. But we don't live like that here. And so he was fine, because we don't, you know, I don't walk around, you know, when people say Merry Christmas, sometimes I might still say Merry Christmas. I don't walk around anti-whatever, but we just don't participate. But the same amount of people that say Happy Hanukkah, say Happy Kwanzaa, like whatever it is that you do, that's fine. But when we do what we do, that's fine too. You know, like I don't really have a confrontational spirit. But I also know that truth is truth, and my children, the way that I've lived is we seek truth. So when I was asked, you know, well, what do you say to your son about Santa Claus? And it's like, I tell him the truth. We don't celebrate Christmas. Like, he likes the holiday because people are jolly. He likes the tree. So we get a tree, but we don't decorate it. What we do is we put a memento. We do a earth honoring ritual versus it being a Christmas ritual, but because of the high vibration, he's really drawn to it. So we've acclimated it to at the function of our family, but he understands the significance of the pine tree in every culture, not just in the culture that decided that this is what Christmas is. But ultimately, he also knows that all of these holidays are marketing schemes for these companies to make extra money, because what's a thriving company without a demographic that's willing to pour money into it for useless reasons?
Yeah, gotcha. I want to ask Marcus, did you have any issues with your family in terms of, you know, the holidays and not wanting to celebrate? Like, you know, because like I know for me, like and then probably lots of people come into consciousness, you know, different holidays as they become into consciousness may like they might not want to celebrate them or may cause conflicts with their families. Like, did that was ever an issue with you, Marcus? Or
it was sort of an issue. It wasn't an issue like a big confrontation. It was just simply people would say, oh, happy 4th of July, and I would ask, like, why are you, I would not feel good about, like, saying happy 4th of July back to them, because I felt like 4th of July meant something that shouldn't be celebrated. Or,
Are these white people saying happy 4th of July, or black people?
White people, black people, family, non-family, and, like, even with Christmas and stuff like that, I just didn't want to participate. Like, I would feel conflicted about wishing family members happy holidays, because I didn't I wasn't necessarily sure about how they would sorry, I'm thinking it through myself right now.
It's all good, but what I think you're saying is you don't really know the foundation of this holiday, yeah. Right? And so it's important for you to understand things as opposed to just feeling like you're being led into something that may not be psycho-spiritually healthy for you.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you, Chantel, was there any issue with perhaps, you know, your family and then and how you raised your son, or even your family and how you interacted with them growing up in terms of holidays such as 4th of July, Christmas, et cetera?
Well, absolutely. My family is a very patriotic family. My grandfather spent more than 20 years in the Navy. And in some respects, I'm patriotic in that sense because of his dedication. However, I express it in a different way. And for Christmases and Thanksgiving, like, I grew up eating the same things my family ate. And it wasn't until I was about 17. Well, until I gave birth to my son at 17, that I really started questioning things, because that's when I had independence at that point at the doctor's office. There was like so many different transitions at that point. So at that point, I stopped eating pork. And there were things that I did not want to move forward with my child that was forced upon me as a child, because I always question things. My family is very religious and very patriotic. Religiously, I'm like, wait a minute, Christmas, I thought it was about worshiping Jesus and his existence. And then why are we so concerned about all of these presents? And why are you mad at this person if they didn't get you a present that cost more? So like, I always had these overlooming questions that I never got answers to and never could see the answers to or the science behind it, because I'm a very scientific, logical person. I analyze things. And so I had my son the top of the year, so I was still 17, but at 18, when Christmas came around, because my birthday's in October, when I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this with him, even though he was a baby, like, I started catching a lot of flack. And once he got a little older, I've been kicked out of where I was staying with my family because I didn't celebrate Christmas the same way they celebrate it. Like, they were like, okay, then fine. If you're not going to do it the way we're doing it, you're going to need to find somewhere else to stay till after the new year. And I literally had to pack myself up from the beginning of December and leave my home and stay with someone else with my baby, because I wouldn't do Christmas the way that they wanted me to. Like, I've experienced some very, 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 very traumatic things just simply because I did not agree with the status quo. Like, I was uninvited to Thanksgiving with my family for years because I didn't eat pork, and they refused to make any dishes that normally had pork in it that didn't have pork in it. And then if I suggested that I would bring my own meal, they were just like, just don't come. Now, this is my family. These are the people that I come from. My first line, my aunts and uncles, not first cousins, second cousins, nothing like that. Like, my legitimate family. So, I could honestly say, besides being burnt at the stake or shot in the head, because I've caught a very hefty amount of conflict simply because I either question something or just decide that the way that works doesn't work for me. And until I have more information about why I'm doing that way, I'm just going to stay neutral and just observe. So for me, it's been a huge sacrifice. But at the same time, with my son now being 21 and being a free thinker and grateful that I raised him the way that I did, I can say that the sacrifice was worth it, because we stand in truth and we move in truth. So my son, who sees the world in the same fashion that I see the world, still has respect for me because I never forced him to do something that he didn't agree about. And then when he decided he wanted to participate in something because he saw the truth in it for himself, we then haven't had a more enriched experience as a family, because not only did he come up in a house who respected him as a person, he also came up in a house that seeked the truth.
That's gorgeous. I just want to take the time to commend you for like staying true to yourself during all that adversity and raising a child that I'm sure will be a blessing to others in the world, you know?
And thank you for sharing.
It's something that, I don't know that I deserve any commitment, but
no, you do. It's difficult. It's difficult, and you do.
It comes to a point. We just have to be who we are.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to be who we are at all costs. Like, they don't deal with me because they can't manipulate me. Their love is rooted in manipulation, and I come, you know, fortunately, I got that vein from my dad's side of the family where my mom's side, that I spent most of my time around my mom's side of the family, and my mom's side of the family, they only manipulate because they've been manipulated and they've allowed themselves to succumb to the manipulation. They make the choice because they could all choose otherwise, but they would just rather be in the comfort zone with the people that they already know instead of standing on their own and being who they are. You know, and as for me, my dad's side of the family is like, whatever way you flip it, this is how you get it. You like it? Okay. You don't, then leave me alone. And so I'm grateful that I have that vein, you know. But at the same time, it's also been a very isolated walk. But I would rather be alone and isolated and standing in truth than walking along with the herd to imitate, but
Eliminate
like,
the
yeah,
mind.
exactly. I've always been the person that is like, everyone else is like, yeah. And I'm like, but why? Why are we doing it like that? And it's not because I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to start trouble. I just really want to know. Like, I legitimately want to know why.
You want to know, and they don't want to think. That's kind of an issue, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And so I started questioning myself, like, why am I always around people who just go with the flow? So I just started being more mindful about who I, and frankly, like, I think it was preparing me for the work that I'm doing
Of course.
because my family, the people that I look like, the people that I come from, like my tribe has hurt me in so many different ways, just simply because I either ask the question why, or I won't blindly do something, or I just have my own opinion. So that by the time I was able to walk out of my home's fence and step out into the world, I've already seen more than most people can see in a lifetime. So no matter what the world throws at me, I can still stand and just keep moving. So in a way, I'm fortunate. In a way, I'm fortunate, or I choose to, d I decide that I am fortunate in that way. Because in looking at some of the things that a lot of people are experiencing in this world today, like I had it really easy, but at least I know how to keep my head about myself. And I'm not afraid to meet the confrontation that will come when people are ignorant and violent. Because I've had to stand in the face of that and I wasn't shaken. And the reason why those situations didn't succumb me is because it didn't shake me. Like whoever this man or this woman was who was trying to intimidate me with their whatever they were doing had nothing on my grandma. So if I could survive the fire of my grandma, then I'm pretty sure I can handle whatever you about to throw at me. It's cool, we good. I got my son strapped to my back and my sword in my hand. So you can come this way if you want to, but I guarantee you're not gonna be standing in my way long. You see, and most of the time they step aside. Because the truth of the matter is, the universal truth is that we all have a right to exist, and we don't have to ask for permission. So all you just really have to do is be like water and move. That's it.
Sorry, I'm soaking it all up. I'm thinking to
Yeah,
myself,
that
this is.
was very shake. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself, this is Marcus's first time hearing you. So, I'm like, I'm sure this is like good for his soul too, you know?
It's amazing for my soul. Thank you.
My pleasure, no problem. Just, you know, it's just one of those things. Like we just have so much. We have so much going on, and like in our society right now, everything is like they're promoting division, they're promoting anger, they're promoting dissension, they're promoting, and it really takes more energy to be that way than it does to just be. Like if you just let people be, the people who are like-minded will naturally group together and they will naturally stay to themselves. You know, so they could be mad and angry, but they're gonna be all the way over there. Popping off their fireworks for some frivolous reasons that ain't got shit to do with nothing I've ever existed about. Okay, And as a matter of fact, if they shoot them high enough, man, that's a pretty cool fucking firework. I'm glad they're doing it over there. You see what I'm saying? Like, and then while they're at that, we're busy changing the world. And before you know it, we're going to outnumber them. And then their hearts are going to change anyway because they're weak anyway. And all they're going to do is accommodate. They're either going to accommodate or morph to the majority or shoot themselves in the head just because they're so hell-bent. But that generation, those generations are dying. They're not going to be here. There's this one song by John Mayer, one of my favorites, Waiting on the World to Change. If that isn't one of the most truest songs I've ever heard in my life, and I was so surprised they played it on the radio, Waiting on the World to Change. You know, and it's like, okay, you know, and basically what he's saying in the song is like, yeah, it's they're full of hate, it's some fucked up shit happening. But they're not gonna be around long, and me and my friends, we got plans. We working on stuff over here. We ain't sitting idle, but we really just waiting on the world to change. Because time is the one thing nobody can outrun. Nobody. So I'm not that old. And quite frankly, all my mentors call me a baby. I'm not that old. I'm gonna be around for a really long time. So I know my counterparts are going to be around for a really long time. It ain't going to be like this for long. Why you think all the earthquakes and stuff are happening? All the earth is purging herself.
Oh yeah,
It ain't always going to
I
be.
was thinking that. As soon as I had a really some really deep meditations the last couple of days, and I was like, just I mean, just some grindy meditations, just like do or die. I was having some dark thoughts, like, man, I can't take this world anymore, you know. And then I wake up, and then the next day I see, oh, earthquake, California. I'm like, yes, you know.
I mean, it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
If we stay focused on microscopic things, we're gonna be consumed by it. We're gonna be consumed by it. We and that's why elevation is a personal journey. And that's why they say everybody ain't gonna make it. That's why focus is important. That's why meditation is important. That's why separating yourself from the greater whole is important, because you need to be able to see the difference between what is real and what isn't. And sometimes we can get so heartbroken and so scorned that we stay focused on things that keep us rooted in the lower vibrations. Even though we have high frequencies, we can still be rooted in lower
Well,
vibrations and
we're rooted in them partly because of our families too. Yeah.
Whatever it
I'm
don't
not making an
like
excuse, but
like
I'm just saying, I gotta say for me personally, I've realized that no matter how much you elevate yourself, right? Like if you come back to a family that is has a certain negative thought patterns, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, you're they're gonna, you know, vibrations normalize, you know what I'm trying to say? So unless you feel like transmuting their shit all the time, you're gonna have to move away from them. It's just period, point blank. Like I'm not sure like when you decided to do that, or if you decided to do that at some point in your life, Chantel, but I'm realizing for me, like I have to be in another state for my mother. Like she is just too it's just unhealthy, I feel. But
I
what's your
mean,
thoughts on that?
and I can identify, because that's been my lesson in the last couple of weeks. Like the main reason why I still am connected to my mother is because of my children. And in this last week alone, while I was away at school, and the way that my mother treated my son, it has been confirmed. My grandfather, and it was my children and my grandfather is dying. I just learned while I was away at school that my grandfather is dying. My favorite person in the entire world is dying. The only real reason why I left myself open for my family to contact me. Now I really have to, like, the only person that has ever made me feel like I wasn't a, like that still alive. Everyone else has passed away, but the only reason, like, I really had to go in while I was in school, like all the way in. But I've always known that I would have to separate myself from them. It has never been a question. I will not get where I'm going interacting with them. But it's not that I can't get where I'm going interacting with them. In order to do so, I will have to be fortified in a way where they don't bother me. They always bother me because all of my trauma except for a few instances, all of my significant trauma, the reason why I have PTSD now is because of my family. So I have to be willing to let them go to heal, to talk to them, to talk to my own mother, to have a conversation. Getting the daily text from my mom every single day triggers something. She triggers me. My mom is my trigger. Like you see, so I understand what you're saying fully. However, that is a choice that we make. We choose to subject ourselves to them, whether we feel obligated or not. If we know that their vibration doesn't serve our greater good, regardless of who they are and what our connection is, if we continue to interact with them, we're consciously making the choice. So at that point, you can no longer fault them for their vibration and how their vibration affects you. You have to take responsibility for yourself.
Correct.
So for me in that space, it's like, okay, here we go. So the weaning begins because it's time to say goodbye. Because my spiritual pursuit is more important than anything and anyone else.
Correct. I don't know where to go from there, man. Marcus, how you feeling? How you feeling over there, man?
I'm feeling good. That's necessary.
Yeah. Marcus is, he's you're 20, right? So
Yeah, I'm 20.
yeah, I'm 36 and Chantel I believe is like 38, 39 or so. So
38,
yeah,
yeah.
we're a little, a little older in the game, but I mean we, we're all INFPs here. Well, technically Chantel tests as ENFP, but we're all F, NFPs here. So
Yeah, she's talking about some introversion with separating herself from family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's funny because we all it seems like we all have similar struggles. You know what I'm trying to say, and they're gonna manifest in different ways. But I just meeting Chantel, I'm like, she, it seems like a lot. Like, oh, there's so many things that I relate to with her. You know what I'm trying to say, like, it's just it's mind-boggling and fascinating, and in a strange sense comforting too, because you understand you're not alone. You know what I'm trying to say, because that we live in we're in this world, but we live sometimes in emotional prisons based upon the trauma we've been through. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
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 And not a lot of people understand that, because most people don't have value systems. They just are gonna take the path of least resistance. You know what I'm trying to say? And like, oh, I'd rather have my mother's love, So that's my brother. He's like, oh, but my brother at the same time, my mom treats him like shit and he gets upset. I'm like, I don't even care if my mom treats me like shit, because I'm not expecting much from her, Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. That's just like I'm supposed to go to school. I'm supposed to go back to school on the 11th. And it's a hefty investment because of some of the things that my mom has done while I was in school. Now I'm jeopardized. I'm in a hole so deep now I may not even make it to school. And this was important to me. You see what I'm saying? But and in talking to her about it, it's like, well, why did you do that? Well, why didn't you talk to me before you made that decision, knowing that I would be the one to have to foot that bill? And her science behind it all, and I'm thinking, you knew. See, it, see, 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 see. You can't even be mad at her because you know that she's a snake. You knew she you like you know she's a snake, so you can't be mad at the snake for slithering. Okay, here we go. So it's been about my son's 21 now. It's been about 16 years since she's been able to lure me into this position. So here we go. Now I'm 16 years older. How are we gonna handle it this time? You see what I'm saying? Now my truth is, listen. My truth is, listen, you made that decision without my authority. Without me authorizing it. Now you got to foot that bill. My obligation says, that's your mom, even though she's fucked up and manipulative and da 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 da, you know she knew you didn't have it, and but that's your mom. So I'm in the middle of this little dance between the way that I was taught to think and the way that I really think, because the way that I really think is just very straightforward. Like, this is what it is. This is how it's going to be. Da. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so I'm allowing myself to experience my feelings to gain a better understanding of myself. However, I know how I'm feeling, and it's coming down to the ninth hour where I have to speak on where I stand. And I know I'm just going to give it, I'm going to speak my truth, but in my heart, I feel that tug of the little girl who's been overtly manipulated. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we, that dance, but that dance doesn't ever really stop. However, you can use the wisdom of the experiences that you've had, and you can just decide, like, okay, listen, this is what we're not going to do. You see, like, going to school is important to me. Like, I've literally been homeless. Literally have been homeless since I started school back in November and just moved into my place on Monday. I graduate. I'm scheduled to graduate on the 22nd of this month after I get there on the 12th. I graduate. And it was a plan, you know, I'm not looking for sorrow. Like, my brothers are like, what do you mean you've been homeless all this time? How come you didn't tell me? And it's like, sometimes, like, it goes back to that question, what are you willing to sacrifice to get to manifest your visions? I'm just not one of those people who bullshit. So I saw the road to where I needed to be was this. I saw that this is the shifting that I needed to do, and I knew how I could gain, I knew how I could handle myself in the in-between space, so I did what I had to do. So now that I'm on the verge of manifesting a vision, I've given my mom an inch, and she's taken like 800 miles, and I have to decide how I'm going to address it. And so for me, it's like I'm preparing myself to have my last conversation with my biological mother. It doesn't feel good, but it's necessary.
Yeah. I mean, I can't, necessarily relate. Like, at the same time, I've had these kind of conversations where I could easily never talk to my mom again, but we end up talking anyway. I think for me personally, like, I want to, at the end of whatever conversation I have with her, that's like that, I feel like at the end of it, I want to respect myself.
Right. Exactly.
Cause that's at the end of the day, like, you know, what do you really have when everything is stripped from you? You know what I'm trying to say?
Exactly. Exactly. And quite frankly, I have been on the end of loss way too many times. You see what I'm saying? Like, I the reason why I could be comfortable being homeless from November till now is because I have been homeless because of her. And it wasn't comfortable because I put myself in a position to help her because she said she needed it. And then in turn, it was a crazy situation. And I ended up homeless with my son, and she didn't give a fuck about it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now I'm at the point, well, yeah, I can be a minimalist. I could live in the woods. I'm good. I don't give a fuck. Well, if I have a hammock and a tree or a pole or something, I don't even need a hammock. Like, I can make do with whatever I have because I've had nothing before because of my mom. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I understand the lower vibrational thing. However, I've made a lot. I've come a long way. I've done a lot of work, and I've given a lot. I've sacrificed a lot, but I've also gained so much. So I'm not mad about it. You know, it's cool. I just see it as an opportunity to make a decision and to learn more about myself. But I do know where I'm going. She won't be there. So it's up to me to decide how I let that manifest. And at this point, it's like my spiritual pursuits or my mom's feelings, which one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems your pain got you to a very good place.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. But I didn't allow it, you know, it's like, for me, in my experience, Pain was the common denominator. I knew pain more than I knew love coming from other people. But that also made it so I stayed rooted in my spirit. So I know that for me, I give love because love is all that I have. I don't necessarily know. I don't necessarily know what it's like to be in a true, like people have been ushered into my life. Like I have family, but they're not my blood, you know? And in thinking about it, it breaks my heart. But at the same time, my older son is out in the world and he's rooted in the love that I was able to give him, the love I never
You
knew.
never got, yeah. You were the mother that you wish you had.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And that is why Lewis was commending you earlier. Because
But
you do deserve it for that.
yeah, you're a miracle, Chantel.
don't know about all that. I just
Yeah,
know that.
no, you have to, you got, you have to, you have to, you have to, you have to take sometimes. You gotta like, there's not like, you've been unappreciated your entire life from most part from your family, right? Like, there's not many people that you need to understand that. I'm just letting you know, you need to understand that you are a miracle in my eyes, and I'm sure in the eyes of this gentleman here. So you're the shit. You know, I don't know. I think about you all the time, and I think so highly of you. You're gonna say that, like, you know, I don't know. I am just honored just to be in your presence right now. So that's how I feel about you. So everything, like, I don't know. I just like everything you say, your words are like nutritional. You know what I'm trying to
Yeah,
say?
they
So
give strength, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, you're just a gorgeous soul. So I don't, you know, whatever. Take it, leave it. But that is the truth. So know that. Yeah, know that. Know
Appreciate
that. Yeah, know that. In a life where people are not seeing your vision, not seeing your value and what you have come to bring to this world, like, we see you.
There's just so many people, you know, there's just so many people, and especially kids, you know. That it's just amazing how many people are lacking. Like our existence is what it is because people are lacking. And it's and what I really like about, I mean, people think I'm funny. I only said it a few times and I strategically only said it around the people that I knew would at least be able to kind of ponder it and not like shoot me in the head because I said it. But I was actually kind of glad that Trump got presidency. And I was glad that he got presidency because in order for there to be major change, humanistically, people have to feel so threatened. Like it's just a psychological thing. Like unfortunately, most people operate on the vibration where there has to be some significant trauma to signal or trigger a significant change. And the things that I saw Trump ushering in within his presidency was going to bring the truth to the forefront. People are acting like all of this stuff is, I mean, it's not brand new, and they're not act, not all of them are acting like it's brand new, but they're shocked or they're upset about it. Well, frankly, this is nothing new. People are just having more confidence to say things out loud. But it's what they're talking about behind closed doors, and it's still fueling the same people who are fueling the decision making are still fueling the decision making now. Like it's nobody different. It's the same people. Like, come on, guys. What do you expect? But in order for us to really start making significant changes on a greater scale, people have to be more willing to see and hear the truth. And the truth is coming out. It's not pretty. But, you know, really, when you really want to think about it universally, we're talking about universal existence overall. And in universal existence, there isn't a good or a bad, there just is. There just is. So your opinion, whether I like it or not, isn't good or bad, it just is. So when we're dealing with things from that perspective, it changes the whole context. But in order to have a huge paradigm shift, where people are really willing to start embracing themselves as spiritual beings, having a spiritual experience in a physical body. They have to start really accepting who they are and the power that they really are. And most people need to be shown that before they believe that it's happening. And there's a lot more of us who are willing to exercise our divinity by not participating in the things that everybody else is doing. It's like this cylindrical, I don't know if I said it right, but this, you know, the spiral that goes up, but it creates a tunnel. It's like the more of us that are willing to just stop, you know, just not participating is enough. When people who know you and know that you think differently, when they notice that you're not at the celebration, and they notice that you just, like, you don't even have to say anything. Like the one thing, like, one of the few things that jumped out, there are a few things that jumped out at me at church that made me go, touche, good point. I'm gonna keep that. And one of the things that was said, I was like 10 when I heard it the first time. And they were like, the person on the pulpit was like, you know, if you shouldn't have to walk around stating what you believe in and who you are. A lady doesn't have to walk in the room and say, I'm a lady, treat me like a lady. If you're a lady, the people around you will know it because of how you carry yourself. They will respect you as such. So he was talking about Christianity at the time, and he was like, so as a Christian, if you're a believer, then you shouldn't have to walk around toting your belief on your sleeve. People should just know that you are a believer by the way that you carry yourself. And for me, I was just like, I like that. I like that. So when I'm living, like, I'm not religious. I don't know. I can't. I'm just not. But I love, so I can talk to people from all walks of life. Even if I don't know their language, I can still communicate with them because of what's oozing out of my pores. And if they're willing to be the same way or just at least be open, we can actually have a dialogue. I like that. I don't want to be a person that can't communicate with everybody because I feel... Like if I operated, like, one of my sisters, she has a Nigerian name, and she, in these last 7 months, like, she's made me eat, and I don't even, the way that she cares for me, I've never experienced in my entire life. And so I'm talking to my mom about her, and my mom brings her up later, like, Sunday, because I was with my parents. It was Monday, they were here, and she was saying her name incorrectly, and it offended me. And I was like, Ma, that is not her name. Like, you need to, like, that's so, like, it was so disrespectful. Because she was like, whatever, she said it like 5 different ways, and it was just like, well, whatever, you know what I mean. And I'm like, this woman has loved me more than you have ever in 6 months than you have my entire life. You do not get to say her name incorrectly. But I took a breath and I stepped back. I didn't say anything. I did say, you know, that's not how you say her name. That is so disrespectful. Like, my younger son, my 10-year-old is with me. And my 10-year-old, you know, this woman, my sister, she is nurtured and taking care of my son for me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so he loves her too. So he saw my face, he saw my response, but then he also saw my breath, and he also saw me, like, put the force field up, like, yeah, all right, you almost had me, you almost sucked me in, but you're not gonna get me this time. Like, we got other things to be focused on than be drawn into low vibrations. We got this. She about to leave in 2 hours and 15 minutes. We good. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. we're always going to be I don't really believe that the universe tests us. I don't believe that. We just have choices to make. And every choice is another pebble in the pond that creates another ripple. And our existence is a manifestation of all those collective pebbles being dropped in the pond, and our vibration is a sum of all the ripples. And I just choose more. I choose more. I choose more. Like, I deserve more. I choose more. My grandchildren will not know me like I know my grandmother. My grandchildren will know me like I know my grandfather and my father's mother and my great-great-grandmother and my great-aunt, like a pillar of wisdom who always sees me to my core and always speaks love no matter who they come across. We have that choice to make. And when I speak about my children, I'm not just talking about my biological children. I'm talking about all children that I come in contact with. Because sometimes it's the little kid that you smile at the grocery store that doesn't ever get a smile that you change the context of their life. They're the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
I have had people smile at me in the most horrific moments where I have just been raped and drugged to church. And the people around me act like they didn't even know that it happened. And the person sitting in the pew beside me smiled at me and gave me a peppermint. And it totally changed the whole context of my experience. So it's like in those moments, we have some people will never get an ounce of love except for the flash of a moment that we get to give them. So, yeah, I test as an extrovert. But it's because I've been made to subdue my introvertism because I've been forced in front of people against my will to do things that I'm capable of doing but I really don't want to do. But I've also been in situations where I've been very withdrawn, but simple, small acts of kindness have penetrated my entire existence and helped save my life. So I don't, it's just, that's a lot. I just said a whole
no,
lot.
No, that's good. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love it. You made some great points. I was thinking that yesterday, like there's this little kid at the store, and I'm going to say he's a little Mexican kid for the context with all this, you know, it's 4th of July and, you know, Trump is, you know, deporting these kids left and right and put them in detention center. So to me, I thought it was relevant just to mention that. He was going up to try and grab some chicken nuggets or some of that from the shelf, and I see him climbing up and he grabbed one, and then he was going to grab another, and I'm like, "What do you need, buddy?" And I smile at him. He smiles back. Just that those moments, just to you know, just to see people as human in a time where it's like, you know, there's a lot of hatred right now towards you know children of Mexican descent, I guess, you know, especially, you know, from certain right wing individuals. And
exactly.
You know, just to see him smile back, and just brotherly love from one being to the next. You know what I'm trying to say, like, it's just, it's a, and you know, it's like with children, they haven't been so destroyed from the mechanisms of the society yet that they still actually appreciate the smile back and the love back and the little things, like,
exactly.
Hey, I'm tall, I can reach that for you. Here you go, buddy. You know.
Exactly.
You know,
because in their minds, that's how they operate.
Yeah.
You take a kid to the playground and don't say nothing to them. They're all best friends in less than 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, what you doing? Can I play? That's how they function.
Yeah.
There's no reason why we shouldn't be functioning the same way.
People lose it because this whole principle things we've been talking about, or, you know, like our value system, people, a lot of people give that up. I think it begins to wane when they, you know, when do you think it begins to wane for you? I think it begins to wane when they have to become adults. You know, when they realize, you
it's
know,
suffering, it's suffering. It's mm-hmm. the suffering that does it to us. I think, my personal opinion, we go through these things and we're disappointed. Or we're taught we create stories about people, and we also create stories through association based on the people that we've been affected by.
Yeah.
And we make those stories fact, and we live by those stories. And it affects us. Where in actuality, we're supposed to give people the opportunity to be themselves. But then most people aren't brave enough to be themselves themselves.
Yep.
So not only are you dealing with stories that you create about other people, now we've also created stories about ourselves. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. It's perpetuating cycles and programming that only perpetuate further based on what you choose. Because all of it is a choice. All of it. The stories that I tell myself are choices. My stories have changed. Now I've had to do a lot of work in changing my stories. And a lot of dedication, a lot of meditation, a whole lot of yoga. But at the same time, the choices that I've made to put certain things in place, I can't even change the new story now if I wanted to, because the new story is the manifestation of my visions. So if I had this information when I was 19 and I took my first put my first, I don't even know, it starts with a C, not a commandment, but covenant.
Oh, covenant.
Covenant. When I took my first covenant with myself at 19 to love myself for who I really am, if I'd have known an ounce then what I know now, if I'd have known that that covenant was going to lead me to where I'm standing right now today, I'd have never let myself get frustrated about a damn thing. Because my lesson in it today is like, it all worked out. Like, yo, like, I'm literally living my visions. Like, yo, you can't take that. Nobody can take that from me. I don't care what you say, what you've ever said, what you thought, what you think you're about to do. The proof is in the pudding. My 21-year-old is in a place that most people will never ever be. Like, he did not have to experience the things that I had to experience. And he did not have to experience what statistics said we would experience. He might not have a whole bunch of money in his pocket, but he's investing. Because the things that I planned on doing before I had him and never got a chance to do, I still made sure I taught him to do. So he's doing all the things that I would have done at the age that he is, but I could not do because I had to focus on feeding him. And I never made it a burden. I never made him feel like he was a burden in that way so that he could live unrestrictedly. Because in my opinion, the student should soar like 8 times past the teacher. Because if they don't, then that wasn't really a teacher. It was just an energy vampire.
Correct. Yeah.
So when my cousin's children are calling my son, talking about this and talking about that, and they're like, what you mean you're going to the Air Force? What you mean you're doing this? What you mean you're traveling? What you mean you're doing whatever? And they start talking that crazy talk that my family used to talk to me. And then my son says, hey, mom, I don't think I'm going to talk to such and such anymore. And I'm like, if that's what you think is best. He was like, well, I don't even know why I started talking to them in the first place. But, you know, I love them, but I just can't. And I'm like, you know, you just got it is what it is. You got to do what's right for you. You got to surround yourself with people that fuel your evolution, that challenge you to be the best version of who you are. And speak life into your life. And if they can't do that, then you'd be stupid not to cut them off. All of the Sikhs and all of the gurus from every walk of life had to make choices, had to choose their studies over whatever it was that was happening in their life. And the people that truly love them never gave them any flack for it. Never, ever. There's this one guy, I freaking forgot. I'm not even gonna be mad because I can't remember anybody's name. But there's this one guy, and they put him as a person that really did a lot of discovery when it comes to pregnancy and stuff like that in Europe or whatever. Like, it was a doctor. And I watched the documentary on how he made suggestions at the hospital over in Europe, you know, hundreds of years ago or whatever, back when, you know, medicine was becoming whatever, and functional hospitals were, and the way that they were treating these women was horrific, right? But he started making suggestions, and how the doctor, how his colleagues ostracized him was absolutely, it was textbook, you know, somebody was claiming it was something different. He was introducing different ideals in a system that thought they had it pinned, right? But he ended up getting married, and he was always doing his work, to where he totally neglected his wife. But he was doing the work when they got married. Not saying he was right for neglecting his wife, because, I mean, you know, whatever, right? But at the same time, she wrote a memoir, and it was just a really long letter. So basically, because she couldn't talk to him, she wrote to him. And she ended up getting ill, because, you know, they didn't live long in Europe back in the day because they didn't take care of themselves the right way, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So when she passed, he found this book of all of the things that she wrote to him. And it was talking about how she loved him, how she respected his work, how she admired him. Sometimes it was her being like, why don't you just give me, like, I'm like, hello, am I a I'm a person, I need you, like, I'm your wife. But most of it was her just honoring him and the work that he's doing, and how proud that she was. And it showed dates of when he made, like, huge accomplishments, and it was on those dates she was congratulating him, but she was writing all of the conversations to him that she would have had with him if he took his nose out of his book. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she truly loved him, so she respected him and his work. And I'm like, finally, somebody depicting a woman's love. Like, hello, not all women are vixens, and not all women. Like, why does it always have to be the woman that's the reason why the guy fails? And how come it has to be the guy that is always doing the major work? Women do major work too. Like, what's going on? Where's the balance here? But whatever, right? I could go on for days about that. Mm-hmm. But what that showed me is that, yes, I'm super focused. Yes, I'm doing what I'm doing. But when someone truly loves you for who you are, and it doesn't have to be a romantic interest, when people really care about you, they're going to respect you. They're going to encourage you. Like, yeah, you want to go sit on the side of Mount Sinai for the next year and do what? Meditate. I don't even know what meditation is, but I heard you say something about it. Well, what do I got to do to help you get there?
Yeah.
That's what we should be focusing on. The conversation about my mom, yeah, it is what it is. She is who she is. But I'd rather talk about Bahati, because Bahati is the one who knew when the vegan fest came up, and the I helped bring it to fruition, and the girl that I was working with was stabbing me in my back, and she did some pretty shiesty stuff, but I knew I was supposed to be there anyway. And when it came time and I wasn't talking much and my heart was broken, but I knew I needed to be there because I had drummers there and we were going to do a drum circle, and I just had to be there. When she called me and she asked me if I was okay, I was like, yeah. She was like, so you gonna go down there? And I was like, yeah. She was like, well, okay, just let me know when you gonna head up there. And I was like, okay. Because she knew if she asked me what time, I would be like, I don't know. She could hear my spirit speaking. And she knew I was moving in my spirit. I wasn't moving with my mind. And so I sent her a text, and I was like, okay, I'll be there in half an hour. And she didn't even ask me where she wanted to meet me. And I pulled up, I walked over, and I just stood in the space that, well, not many people could see me. It wasn't on purpose. It was just so I could feel the space of the place, because I knew my spirit was supposed to be there. I was doing duty. I realized that it wasn't about me. The part that I was playing in it was spiritual protection because it needed that. And it wasn't about whatever else that was happening. So I just let myself be in that space spiritually, and I stood there. And I just let myself be open to the fluctuations of the universe, and I just let myself be. And when I opened my eyes, guess who I saw? Bahati.
Who's that?
And that is my sister. My sister. And when I saw her, I wanted to cry, but my spirit wouldn't let me. And I just quietly walked over. She gave me a little hug. She had her drum. She was beautifully dressed. And we walked over to meet the drummers. And do you know, we drummed for hours. And that's all everybody, and when they were doing all the reviews about the vegan fest, you know, all they could talk about was the drumming and how it liberated their spirits. And the girl that was doing the shiesty stuff, she came over and she couldn't even get close. She couldn't even bring herself close enough to speak. We made eye contact and I smiled and I put my hand over my heart and I kept drumming. And she walked away, you know, but I did what I was supposed to do. And so this year when they brought the vegan festival back and you could, you know, people were like, well, they tried to do this year, but it just wasn't the same because the things that they tried, the things that I was bringing to the table based in spirit, I wasn't there to bring to the table anymore.
Yeah.
But it was, but I know that it wasn't about me. I was just there in that season to help usher something new into the system. It wasn't about me. But because I'm able to stay connected to my spirit, I was able to take myself out of it emotionally. But because of Bahati, because of her presence, because of the way that she loves me, it gave me the space to be that introverted part of myself that was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to explain anything to anybody. The only thing that I want to do is do what my spirit is requiring me. All that politics, all that other stuff, I don't even want to do it. So if somebody was about to approach and she could see that they were going to try to talk to me, she would step from behind her drum and be like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, we're good. Don't bother her. She's drumming. She deflected. And I could drum even more. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when people truly love you, you don't got to explain a damn thing because they get it. Now, if you do, I mean, there's an acclimation process, yes. But we have to start requiring more about from the people. Like, I know that's been a thing for me because I used to take whatever I could get because it was more than what I was getting, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, over the course of time, I had to learn, like, no. It's either going to be what I deserve or it's going to be nothing at all. And if I go 20 years without speaking to a soul, then so be it. I'm fine with that because I'm good with me. I'm okay with that. I mean, I got some corny jokes. But I totally know how to laugh at my own stinky corny jokes.
Tell me one.
I don't even know.
I'm just teasing.
Like, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to sacrifice who we are.
Yeah.
We don't have to conform. We don't. That is never a real rule. Like, we don't have to do that shit because we're designed to be the way we are for a reason, for a lot of reasons. It's not even one. It's for a lot of reasons. And the more courage we have to be ourselves, it gives other people permission to be themselves. Like somebody I'm really close to, we lost contact. We just got in contact again. And we lost contact because he hurt my feelings. And he knows that he did. And when I called him out on it, it was a very peaceful very peaceful exchange. But I just simply said, really? He was like, no, I'm sorry. And I was like, I gotta go. And it broke my heart. And so I was finally able to forgive him because I know that it wasn't intentional. It came out of his pain. But 2 years later, I was like, okay, so yeah, I'm good now. Like, I'm good. And so when we had the conversation today, and he just literally said how he felt, and it really just, you know, when people grow, like,
we're people. Everybody's going to make mistakes. We're human, right? But it's something to be surrounded by people who own up to their shit and go do the work. Because I'm sorry doesn't mean shit, but changed behavior means everything, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I was able to tell him, like, yo, I'm not mad at you. I've never been mad at you. I knew it was coming from your pain, and it was unintentional. But it still hurt, and I still had to draw the line and put the boundary up because I deserve more than that. So people who really care, they're going to, when they hurt you, just like if you were to hurt somebody, you would go back and you would fix it. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
you care. It's yeah. the same thing when people truly, well, you don't, this whole dialogue of this person is like this and then, like, we don't have to let those, we don't have to give those people space. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter who they are. And you don't have to feel guilty about it.
Yeah, that's a you know, I've had several podcasts on that literally that exact topic of just learning how to let people go emotionally so you can find yourself and learn how to, like, I feel sometimes people have to become strangers so you can just begin to know them again, because, you know, with a stranger you don't feel any way about them. You're getting to know them again because you've realized that, you know, you don't really necessarily know that person. And so by them becoming a stranger, it gives you an opportunity to get to know them again, you know, if you decide to, you know, so.
And it's also like a transformation. So you're changing yourself. So you truly don't know them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all relative. Yeah. And each point we get to, we have to reacclimate. That's just like, for instance, would be Bahati and I, like she calls me her energy worker. And at one point in time, she was like, I want to do what you're doing. I want to do what you're doing. Teach me what you do. And I was like, Bahati, what I do is spirit driven. You can't do what I do, but you have to do what you do. Let's work on us discovering what it is that you do. And she was making, and she when we first met, she would, we didn't first meet, but when we first started, like, when our journeys were, when we both knew that our journey was, at least at this juncture, was side by side. We're here to help each other do something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So she had this vision to go to Jamaica and to do this healing journey with this herbalist down there. And she wanted to do that. But then she was like, I'll just be your apprentice. I'm going to pay you to train me. And that's what we'll do. And I was like, and I totally could have used that $3,000. I totally could have used it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope, not going to let you. That's not mm-hmm. what your vision was. Your vision was Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So you keep that and you go to Jamaica. This was a year ago, May. And I was like, and she was like, but I don't, and I was like, Mama, you want to know what I do? This is what I do. I help you figure out how to bridge your dreams with reality. So I'm going to help you do that. Because that's what this is what I do. So let's start manifesting your visions. And so I worked with her in just psychological whatever. Do you know she left for Jamaica 2 days ago? Today is her birthday. She envisioned being in Jamaica for her birthday. She called me the night before last telling me that she made it and telling me that they took a bath. They have to take baths in waterfalls. And it's just what her dream. She manifested her vision for the first time in her life. And she's 56. It's not about us. When people truly care about you, they lead you back to yourself. When she comes back from Jamaica, she's going to be a different woman. So our conversations may be a little different, and I'm going to have to take it slow because she's not going to be the same woman she was when she left. But it's cool. I'm good with that because she shouldn't be the same woman she was when she left. We shouldn't expect to meet the same person every time we come into communion with each other, because we should require each other to be all that we are and to constantly evolve. If I'm talking to the same version of you that I talked to last year, I got the problem and I got the choice to make, because I don't want to. And I can deal with somebody that's stagnant, but do I really want to? If I'm focused on evolution, Why am I drawing people that are stagnant? That means I'm not doing something right, because the people that are in our environment are simply reflections of ourselves.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. And it's just like, wow, it makes you think like how blessed we are to have, you know, to have the level of consciousness that we have at this age. You know, she's 50 something years old and
she's 56.
Finally letting herself be the version of herself that she wanted to be, you know?
Oh my gosh. She looks up to me and I'm like, Bahati, if you knew how much power that, like, I'm looking at her like, if only you could see what I see. Like, what?
Yeah.
We're fortunate to be awake so early. We're fortunate.
Yeah, I had to remind myself that last couple of days, because I was really, you know, going through some like really tough meditations and really just beat myself up about where I'm not at in life. But I had to, and this is physical, you know, in the physical world, you know, but I had to really think about where I am at in life and the people that I have touched and the things at my core, my soul level that I do know, which is like, I'm like, you know, 2000 years old, you know what I'm saying, in a 30 something year old body. So like, right. Nobody, there's not many people that are like going to appreciate that. So it's like, you gotta learn how to appreciate yourself in a world, yeah, that doesn't value, things that you hold dear, you know?
Right. Yeah, you do. Because how can somebody value something they don't understand?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or they've never heard of. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's dating. Yeah, right.
What'd you say? Sorry, you broke up there. What'd you say? Say it again.
Like people shunning what they don't understand. I was like, that's me in dating. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. In today's world, nah. A person like me, there's no like, hey boo, you cute, can we go out to eat? Mm-mm. Nope.
You could have told me that. I would have said yes.
But at the same time, it's like I'm an energy worker.
Yeah.
I'm an energy worker. I absorb everything. I can't afford to be sitting across the table from God knows who, because now I'm feeling everything they've ever experienced.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
I know 110% what you're saying.
So I can't just do that.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know, like,
I never even tried. I never even bothered trying. I could be wrong, but I think women, females have more pressure to date than men do. Let's not like most men, like, no, I don't have any friends, but if I did have any male friends, it's like male friends don't pressure other male friends to date. I don't know. I don't think that, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, but, and that's the only reason why I said that, though, just in the context of what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
In the essence of just, like, there's no way. Like, there's no way, you know. But it's because of what I invest in people. It's because of how what I invest in myself. It's because of how I'm living. Like, I just don't have the space to just arbitrarily open myself up to anything and anyone in any way. And then to have to be obligated to, because the kind of people that I roll with, like, hold on one second.
Sure.
Okay, but I'm in the middle of something.
How you doing, Marcus? You got class coming up here or something? I don't want, you know.
Yeah, I'm well. I got to leave around 9, though.
All right, but cool. Yeah, all right, just checking on you.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to just say this right quick, and then I'm going to have to say my goodbyes, too, because my little guy is starting to get, once he starts interrupting me repeatedly.
I understand. Chantel, I'm just so glad to hear from you, because I was, like, wondering how you've been since you got home from school. I was, like, I didn't even know what, you know, like, I didn't see anything in your Facebook. I'm like, did she make it safe? You know, I didn't know how you were doing, yeah. But I know you're probably going through a lot with your mom and things like that, so.
And then I have to acclimate how some things I gotta, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I was just called out today, like, one of my friend's mom asked about me, and he was just like, you know, she's like a turtle. When she's hurt, she retracts. So I don't know when she's coming back out, but she'll be back out. Yeah, but other than that, there's just like some things I'm working with my son and stuff like that. So I was just, it was just mainly being away from him, and he just really needed me. So it was just one of those things where, but I'm getting a little bit settled, and when I saw that you guys were on, I was just like, okay, I do have some time. I can jump on.
Thank God. I love hearing from you. You just like, you make my day. So that's, thank you for blessing me and blessing this gentleman here.
It was nice to, it was nice to meet you, Marcus, but I hope to hear more from you instead of like, taking over the conversation. My bad.
No, that's no problem. And yeah. Sounds good.
Hey, right. Yeah. So anyway, hold on, before you guys get off, like this retreat, obviously, we're you know, this is kind of a conversation to discuss it and plan it and just kind of feel each other out. September, you know, I know people's schedules are, you know, hopefully not conflicting, but September the 19th to 22nd. So if you guys, you know,
that's a weekend.
It's gonna be through the weekend. So it's like you know, the 19th is a Thursday. So if you can't make a Thursday, it's okay. But that's kind of day people could get in and be sleepy and tired. But you know, it ends on a Sunday, so you should be home for Monday. You know what I'm trying to say?
Okay.
So yeah, it's scheduled that if you need to get to work on Monday, et cetera, that you should be good. So it's over the weekend. 3 days, but the first day is kind of optional. You know what I'm trying to say?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So,
19th to 22nd,
okay. September. Yeah. I mean, this is not like, this is us planning it together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. We'll speak the first Friday every month. But like, this is like Chantel, the way you talked about the drumming and how it kind of happened naturally and things like that, and your spirit and everything like that. Like that is what we're trying to create. Like, and for us, it's going to be easy because we're all INFPs. We're all on the same page. So I'm trying to create freaking heaven on earth. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So, and that's exactly what it's going to be. And I am extremely strict about vibration, and y'all is hand selected, right? So right. this is going to be peace, straight right. peace. So, I need, yeah. Just keep your calendars open, and we're going to keep talking, and we're going to make this a reality with your help.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But go ahead if you want to.
But I gotta go, guys. So have a good night. But all right. I do 19th, 22nd. I got yes. it. All right. Okay.
God bless.
All right.
Peace.
Later.
Peace.
All right. She's something, huh?
Amazing. Yeah.
Fucking. She's she's fucking one of a kind. Oh my gosh. Like, and that's just one sister. Like, dude, she's near and dear to my heart, but there's so many beautiful sisters that and a brother were at least, you know, intending to make it. Hopefully they'll make it, if not this year, then the next year. But like the quality of people that I've been attracting, you know, through this, the podcast and the Facebook group, and you know, doing interviews and things, is just fucking, these people are just absolutely phenomenal souls, an absolute blessing to be in their presence.
Exactly. And like she said, it's everything that you attract is a reflection. So we're all drawn to you, man.
Thank
you.
Shit. that's thank you for that. I have a hard time accepting, but I'm going to accept that. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That was very kind.
Welcome. You're welcome. I'm really happy I was a part of this conversation, even though I didn't talk as much. But yeah, she has so many gems, and I can't wait to take a lot of her advice in the meditation and stuff like that. So it's gonna be good.
Yes, sir. You gotta get to class here. Yeah.
Work to do. Yeah. I'm not class, but on work. But yeah, I will talk to you later.
All right, brother. Been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Have a good one.
You too. Peace.
Peace.